I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. The Eugene Symphony welcomes the third of its three finalists to become the symphony's next conductor and music director. Francesco Lecce-Chong will conduct the Eugene Symphony on Thursday, March 16th at the Holt Center in a program that features Suite from Der Rosenkavalier by Richard Strauss, as well as music from Liszt, Bartok, and Mozart. He's here in the KLCC studios. A pleasure to meet you, Francesco.
Thanks for having me here.
Well, what is it about the Eugene Symphony in this position that inspired you to apply?
Well, the Eugene Symphony, among the musician community especially, is very much a national treasure for what it's done for the music world here. It's an orchestra that has a great history with helping young composers and bringing their music into the larger community. And then, obviously, with its many wonderful conductors over the years and the work that they've done around the country with Marin Alsop now in Baltimore and Giancarlo in Nashville and Miguel Harth Bedoya in Fort Worth. It's a really remarkable pedigree of conductors that have left here and gone on to help our music world. So I can't say that I hadn't heard about this orchestra even 10 years ago when I was still in college and thought that, well, maybe one day, you know, I might have a chance to be music director of an orchestra like the Eugene Symphony, never thinking I'd actually get to be a part of this process. And it's been really remarkable. But I think beyond that, you know, now that I've been here a couple times and had a chance to meet everyone and feel how passionate this community is about the orchestra, I'd have to say that's what makes me the most excited for this position now, is getting to be a part of an organization that is interested in trusting a new music director to find ways to reach out to the community and bring some artistic excitement to the city. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity and a really special organization.
With all of this success that the Eugene Symphony has had launching the careers of conductors, each of those conductors has been radically different in their own way. So what is it that you bring particularly that you would focus upon in this job?
I think there's a lot of different things for me. I think I'm a good fit in many ways because there are some things I wouldn't change, in that I'm very interested in young American conductors, a lot of them my own colleagues who I might have gone to college with now. And I was actually a composition major in undergrad, and I don't compose much anymore because I found it much more my passion to help out my colleagues. And whenever I find a piece that I love, that I can help bring that out and bring that out to a community. And I'm excited that that is shared by the organization here very clearly. I think one of the things that might be a little different for me, having looked over previous seasons here, is that I actually kind of like to swing the other direction and head more towards an early classical and even Baroque mindset for you know, a balancing out a season. I'm not afraid to do some early Mozart, some early Haydn, some Handel and some Bach in there. One of the wonderful things is I'm trained as a keyboardist, and all of this music was composed without a conductor. The conductor was actually usually the continuo player, or sometimes the concertmaster. But when I do this music, it allows me to actually just get in with the orchestra, and I play harpsichord, and I can improvise with them. And it's a wonderful feeling when you get to just join up with your orchestra and make very spontaneous and exciting music. I don't think this era always gets its due. We treat it as light classics, which makes I don't know, it gives me goosebumps when I hear that, because I really think this is some of the most interesting music. And I'd want to bring some of that along with, obviously, the standard, the war horses of the repertoire, and, of course, continuing this tradition of American music.
And in conducting these concerts, each finalist has a program that includes a Mozart overture, a 20th century concerto, and a piece of your own choice to round out the program. So why this particular piece from Richard Strauss?
Der Rosenkavalier, as an opera, is by far my favorite opera. If you ask me what my favorite symphony is, I will probably tell you whatever symphony I'm currently working on. But when it comes to opera, this has been my favorite as long as I can remember. It's just a gorgeous, gorgeous piece of music. And I think what has kept it so popular ever since it was composed in 1911 is that Strauss has found a way to combine everything that was wonderful about Golden Age Vienna in this piece. So he alludes to Mozart's operas. you know, in this kind of comic lightness of, that the opera has. But then he also alludes to all the magnificent waltzes of Johann Strauss Jr., the Waltz King of Vienna. And then lastly, he kind of rounds it all out with kind of an ode to Richard Wagner and his operas, this rich harmony, rich orchestration, and the idea of leitmotif, motives to represent characters on stage. And he finds a way to synthesize all of this together, and it really just becomes a loving portrait of one of the most important musical cultures we've ever had. And, you know, considering when the piece was composed, it's a bittersweet tribute, because Strauss was keenly aware that the onset of World War I would be the end of this golden age. And so what we really have is just a loving portrait from an incredible composer.
And although that was originally written in 1911, there's a 1945 version that I believe you'll be drawing from. Is that correct?
Right. The suite is from 1945. Its origins are unknown. We're not even sure if Strauss put this suite together, although we do know that he approved it and had seen it, but we're not actually sure if he wrote it. But it, you know, it includes all the highlights from the opera, all the best moments. And what I love is, you know, when you take the orchestra out of the pit and you take away the singers, you're just left with Strauss's music, very pure and very simple, nothing in the way. And during my rehearsals with the orchestra, I've explained to them what's happening on the stage so they can visualize how I want the music to sound so it conveys that. And I really think the audience, just hearing the music, is going to be able to feel these character shifts and the overall storyline of the music. You know, starting off very exciting, you know, this passionate love story and these fun little waltzes. And then at the end, this you know, bittersweet moment of saying goodbye. It's all wrapped up in this suite. And I think that's why I love it so much.
One of the things that you've become known for thus far in your career is often conducting without a score. Why do you choose that? And will you choose that in this case?
That's very perceptive of you. I wasn't sure that my reputation preceded me like that. It's not something that I feel very strongly about. It's just one of the things I love about conducting more than anything else is working with musicians. I love the communication that happens. I love the rehearsal process. And taking away the score, which, you know, you've spent so much time studying the score, that generally speaking, unless it's a very thorny modern work, you have it memorized. And what I realized over time was taking away that stand that sits between you and the orchestra somehow opens up the lines of communication a little more. And I've been very careful to get feedback and make sure that musicians are comfortable with that. Obviously, I never do a concerto by memory, even if I could. Things like this, you know, you want to make sure everyone feels very comfortable. I do it just for the communication, so that there's that wonderful eye contact and just sense of fun that we're all in this together. And there's something about that score that, as a conductor, if it's there, you're going to look at it. But if it's not there, then all I'm doing is communicating with a group.
So how else do you approach knowing an orchestra, finding their strengths and their challenges?
I think it naturally happens through the rehearsal process. That is what I love about the rehearsal process. So it's not really something I have to try to do. The greatest thing is getting to know another group of musicians, because we obviously all share some things in common. You know, what we're passionate about. We're almost all perfectionists. We're almost always trying to get better. But we also all have very strong personalities because we're artists. And I like that. I think it's great. You know, when there's a woodwind solo, you know, a clarinet solo or an oboe solo. And, you know, I've done Rosenkavalier plenty of times. And it's wonderful to just see how they do it. You know, I just kind of open up and you know, there's a way you can gesture as a conductor to let them know that you want to hear how they want to do it. And I really like that idea of getting a sense for how does the orchestra want to play? What are the personalities of their players? And I think it's a fascinating process. And I think just through rehearsing and communicating with them, seeing how they react to things that I say, and me allowing myself to adjust to them as well, we've really come to a special kind of understanding.
Another part of this job is community engagement. These days, one has to be very involved in the community. So how would you approach your job beyond the podium?
I think it's incredibly important that your music director be essentially your ambassador for the orchestra and be in as involved in the community as possible. Honestly, simply by spending time in the community outside of concerts is one of the easiest ways. I think the Eugene Symphony has a great setup for their conductors. You know, obviously, just the way they're promoting each one of us as candidates during our week here is already shows that commitment to making sure that we are visible in the community. And I would be so excited to build on that, because clearly there's already the base level of interest in the music director is so high here. But it allows for that flexibility for me to actually go out and do even more and, you know, allow myself to partner with schools and community centers and find ways to even further those connections. I love Symphony Connect, what the Eugene Symphony has started doing, sending out groups of musicians. I would hope as a pianist that I could, you know, do some chamber music with them. We could get out in the community together and do those things. There's really, you know, as long as you're doing things outside your concert hall between your month, your monthly, you know, big concerts, there's nothing you can do wrong as long as you're getting out there and you're talking with people and you're making that personal connection. For me, I think the personal connection is the strongest thing. That is what leads people to want to know more, to come to your concerts, to see what you do. Everyone is interested in what we do as musicians, what we do as an orchestra. But allowing them to actually meet with us face-to-face, talk with us, that's kind of the final push to where they will actually want to come and see what we do and be genuinely excited by what we're doing. So I think the bar has been set very high in Eugene, and I think that's a wonderful thing, because then the challenge is to find even more ways, to find more people that we have not reached yet, you know, younger people that we have not reached yet, people that are moving into town, you know, all of this to get out there and let them know that this is an incredible organization making incredible music and supporting the entire Eugene community.
And are there other things in your musical or personal background that you would like the orchestra and our community to know?
I think, you know, I'm pretty passionate about everything that I do at the moment. You know, certainly as a pianist, I hope I can kind of be involved a little bit that way. And I love being an advocate for the arts. It's really kind of the initial beginnings of my musical career, you could say, started that way. I have no musicians in my family or extended family. So throughout my life, when I wanted to take piano lessons, violin lessons, viola, clarinet, composition lessons, all of this in high school, I spent my high school years justifying to my parents why I wanted to do this much music. And it's never really stopped since then, you know, to be an advocate for what I do and why it's important and why it improves people's lives. That's just what I love more than anything else.
Well, thank you for being here, and thank you for bringing your talents to the symphony this week.
Well, thanks for having me, Eric. Look forward to it.
Francesco Lecce-Chong, the third of three finalists to become the next music director and conductor of the Eugene Symphony. On Thursday, March 16th at the Holt Center in Eugene, he'll conduct a program that includes the suite for Der Rosenkavalier by Richard Strauss, as well as Bartok's Piano Concerto No. 3, Liszt's Mephisto Waltz No. 1, and Mozart's Overture to the Abduction from the Seraglio. For tickets and information, eugenesymphony.org and haltcenter.org. Also see lecce-chong.com. For an extended version of this interview, klcc.org. For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen.